The Seder night is a time that we do many things that are zecher le-mikdash, and we try to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, Korech is the first thing that comes to mind. Korech is a takana derabbanan, zecher le-mikdash kehillel. This is what Hillel did, bizman she-Beis HaMikdash ha-yakayim, or Korech, matzomar, Pesach matzomar, ve-ochlan be-yachad. The Netziv in his Agada suggests that even Urchatz is Zechel HaMikdash. What is Urchatz? That we wash when notel yadayim fedava shetibula b'mashke. A whole year when we dip a fruit or a vegetable into liquid, or we eat a fruit or a vegetable that's wet, even if it's not dipped but it has liquid on it, we don't wash our hands. But on Pesach night, somehow we wash our hands. Why do we do that? So there are different reasons given. That's the famous question of the Taz. Manishtana halayla zeh mikol halelos. This is the fifth question, right? Why do we wash v'davar shetibul b'mashke on the Seder night if normally we don't? Dr. Netziv, you know what the answer is? It's a zecher to the ochlei korban Pesach, that those who ate kachim in the Beis HaMikdash always had to wash their hands from tumah. The hands were tumah, so they had to wash their hands from the tumah. So on the Seder night, even though we're not eating the korban Pesach, we hope, v'yirtzeh Hashem, we still have the opportunity, Mashiach can come. But if he doesn't, we're not going to eat the Korban Pesach on the Seder night. But as a zecher to the Ochlei Korban Pesach, the Ochlei Kodshim, we wash our hands even for Davar Shetibula B'mashke on the Seder night. We wear a kittel on the Seder night. What's the reason for that? Some say it's a simen avelus. Some of the Mefarshim say that we don't want people to get carried away. A person on the Seder night brings out all his finery, all his silver. His silver kalim, his beautiful kalim, and he's dressed so nicely, and the family is there, and he has such a sense of simcha at the wealth HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. Not necessarily the financial wealth, but the spiritual wealth, the family that he has, and all the brachas that he has in life. And maybe someone can get carried away. So there's a minig to wear a kittel that reminds a person that ultimately this life doesn't continue forever. So that's the idea of the kittel. Zokta Netziv, maybe there's a different reason for the kittel, that it's a zecher to the ochlei kachim. When they ate kachim in the Beis HaMikdash, they wore fancy white clothing, big day lavan, because the pasuk says lamashcha legedula kederech shemelachim osim, that when you eat kachim, you have to act like a melech, you have to act like a chosh of a person. You're eating the food of the melech, so you have to dress like a melech. The people were dressed in very fine white linen clothing, so we're trying to mimic the Ochlei Kachim, the Ochlei Korban Pesach. This is a night of Zecher LeMikdash, so says the Netziv. Maybe that's why we wash for Davar Shetibula B'mashke. Maybe that's why we wear the kittel on the Seder night. We know Chazal instituted Zecher LeMikdash not just on the Seder night, but in general. You know, we put ash on the head of the Chosan, at the Chasana, by the Chuppah. We break the glass at the chuppah, we break a plate at the tanoim, zecher l'mikdash. We leave a part of the home unfinished. If you build a new home, or someone repaints the home, so you leave amma by amma, opposite the door, there's a makom we leave that's not finished. These are all zecher to the chur mes ha-mikdash, the shulchan aruch ha-archayim. In Simen Tov Kuv Samach, at the end of Ilchas Tisha B'Av, he enumerates the different minhagim that are zeichel uchav Beis HaMikdash. And we know that there's a zeichel HaMikdash during the year, which one could define as a zeichel to the binyan Beis HaMikdash. L'moshel, we take a lulav called Shiva on Sukkos, zeichel HaMikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah says that Tzion hi doresh ein la, that Tzion Yerushalayim doesn't have someone that's doresh, that looks out for the interests of Yerushalayim, Mechlal Debaya Drisha. We have to care about Yerushalayim. We have to care about the Beis HaMikdash. So Chazal instituted mitzvahs that are Zecher LeMikdash. There's Zecher to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There's Zecher to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And of course, on the Seder night, there's so much Zecher LeMikdash. Question is why? What's the point of the Zecher LeMikdash on the Seder night? What's the idea? So we know there's another minig. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, in Tuf Ayin Vav Sif Beis, Ramah says it's a minig to eat a beitzah on the Leil HaSeder, to eat the egg. Right? We have the Zroa Zecher to the Pesach and the Beitzah Zecher to the Korban Chagiga, but not just to have it on the Ka'ora, as a zecher to the chagiga, but we actually eat from the beitza too. Why do we eat from the beitza, eat from the egg? So the Ramah said the minhag developed because Tisha B'Av always falls out the same night of the week as the Seder. So if the Seder this year is Monday night, that means Tisha B'Av is going to be Monday night this year. Same night. So we eat the egg as a simen avelus. We know that when a person, Chalila, loses a close relative, so there's a sudas havra'a, there's a suda, a meal that the shreinim, that the neighbors give food to the ovel after the kvura. What does he eat? He eats an egg, because that's a simen avelus. It's a galgal hachoze ba'olam. It's a recurring phenomenon in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the world the idea that people don't last forever. So we're showing him that this is part of the nature of the world. It's a simen avelus. Simen avelus to eat the egg. So that's what we do on the Seder night. So the question is, a simen avelus on the Seder night, like why should we be doing that? Well, what's the purpose of the simen avelus on the Seder night? And why is it that Tisha B'Av, that Leil Tisha B'Av always falls out the same night as the Leil HaSeder? The Ramban, in his Akdama to Sefer Shmos, has a remarkable statement. Ramban points out that the different Svarim, the Chamishu Chumshei Torah, have different names. You know, Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzira. The Ramban calls Sefer Shemot Sefer Golus uGeula. It's a Sefer of Golus, of course, it talks about the Shibud Mitzrayim, but it's a Sefer HaGeula also. It talks about the Geula of Kal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. So the Ramban is troubled. He says, if Shemos is Sefer HaGeula, Sefer Golus uGeula, so why do we have so much more in Sefer Shemos besides Yetzias Mitzrayim? We have four parashas that talk about the Binyan HaMishkan. What are they doing there? So he answers that even after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we couldn't consider Klal Yisrael as being Geulim until they came to Har Sinai. Until Kabbalah HaTorah, the Geula was not complete. They had to receive the Torah, and they had to build the Mishkan, because when the Mishkan was built, HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned to them, and he was Mashre Yishchin on them. And then Shavu El Maila Savosam, the Lashon of the Ramban is then Klal Yisrael returned to the Maila of the Ovis, that the Shechina was Shor amongst them. So until Binyan Beis HaMikdash, until Binyan HaMishkan, I should say, until Binyan HaMishkan, the Geula wasn't complete. The Mishkan was a temporary Beis HaMikdash. It was like a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Until the Mishkan was built, the Geula wasn't complete because the Shechina wasn't Shor on Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Twersky once pointed out, very beautifully, that if the taklis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Binyan HaMishkan, as the Ramban is saying, that the Geula was not complete until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashri Shechina on Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan, so then perhaps we can suggest that part of the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be mishtokek for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You have to long for the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, at least long for it, because that's the goal. That's the goal. The Geula isn't complete without a Beis HaMikdash. So Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim can't be complete unless there's a Hishtokekus, unless we dream and we aspire and we long and we daven. We daven Hashem should redeem us and bring us to the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the tachlis of the night. The tachlis of the Seder night is Binyan Beis HaMikdash, is Hishtokekus for Binyan Beis HaMikdash when the Geula can be complete. And maybe that's why Chazal instituted all of these minhagim zecher lemikdash, to stress, to emphasize this idea that one has to be mishtokek, one has to long for Binyan Beis HaMikdash on the Seder night. Not just so that we'll be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Now people think that's the focus of the Seder night, the Korban Pesach and mimicking what they did with the Korban Pesach. That's very important, but that's not enough. To reach the taklis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, person has to be mishtokik that there should be a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so we should be able to serve our Kadosh Baruch Hu completely. Because as long as we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then the taklis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is incomplete. And maybe that's the kesher between Tisha B'Av and the night of the Seder. Because through the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we lost a little bit of the taklis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't Mashre Shina on Klal Yisrael to the same extent. So at the Seder, we have to think about that. We have to have a Simen Avelus. We have to eat the Beitza, eat the egg as a Simen Avelus, to remember the Churban, to realize that the goal of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be Mishtokek for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And that's why, it's not a coincidence, that's why the Leil HaSeder is the same night as Tisha B'Av. because they're connected. Tisha B'Av is the night that we mourn the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the Seder is the time that we think of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the completion of Geulas Mitzrayim. Without the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, we can't have the complete Geula. We can't really celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim in the fullest extent. And maybe that can explain the nusach of the bracha Asher Golanu that we have. You know, the Machlokas would be Tarfan, Rabbi Akiva, and the Mishnah, and Psachim, and Kufta Zainam and Beis. What is the bracha of Asher Golanu? Rabbi Tarfan says that we start Asher Golanu, regardless of Asenu, Mi Mitzrayim, Ad Kan. V'Yonu Alayla Zeh Lechol B'Matzumar, Ad Kan. That's all Rabbi Tarfan says. Rabbi Akiva adds, Kain Hashem Elokeinu Yagiyenu L'Mardin V'L'Golam Acherim Abon L'Kasein L'Shalom Smeichim B'Vinyan Yirecha V'Sosim B'Avodasecha V'Nochol Shem Min Azdochim Min Apsochim Hashi Yagi Adama Malkim Ezbarcha L'Rotzon V'Nod Loch Hashuchoda Shal Gulosenu V'Yalpadus Nafshenu. A whole hemshech to the bracha Rabbi Akiva is. What's the hemshech? What's a tefillah? Is it a bracha or is it a tefillah? We're thanking Hashem for the past or we're davening for the future? The answer is they're both together. You can't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the past. If Hallel is part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Hallel can't be complete unless you're mishtokek for Binyan Beis HaMikdash as well. So that's part of the bracha. Rabbi Akiva says you have to have that extra part because the shtokekus for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is part and parcel of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why in Dayenu, we love this song. Dayenu is a beautiful song. It gets the kids all involved. And getting the kids involved is part of the mitzvahs of the night. Very, very important. But what do we say at the end of the Dayenu? When we finish the song, you have to realize what you're saying. Right? What do we say at the end of the song? We say, Ilu kervanu lifnei asine v'lo nosan lanu asatara Dayenu, right? Ilu nosan lanu asatara v'lo achnisanu le'eretz Yisrael. Ilu echnisanu le'eretz Yisrael v'lobana lanu as beis habachira. Dayenu, right? And then Alachas kama v'kama tova k'fula mechupela slamokam. We thank God for everything. Ilu, if he didn't do the next stage, he only did one stage, not the next stage, Dayenu. But he did everything. He did all 15 levels, right? The Shira Malison in the Beis HaMikdash, there were 15 Shira Malison in the Beis HaMikdash. 15 levels for Dayenu. He did everything. And what's the last word? Ubanu lanu es beis habachir. Ubanu lanu es beis habachir. He even gave us a Beis HaMikdash. What does that have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why do we mention that? Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash. What does that have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? No, that's the Shpitz. That's the climax. That's the sea. That's everything. That's the goal. The tachlis of all of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it wouldn't have been enough. I mean, we would have been so thankful for everything we had, but Kadosh Baruch Hu did so much more for us. He got us to the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Bana Lanu Etz Beis HaBachim. This is the message that we start the Seder off with. Zecher l'Mikdash. We have to understand what is the goal. The goal is not just to be free. Talk about Zman Chai Rasenu in Kiddush. But the goal is not just to be free, but it's to realize that having the Shechina amongst us, feeling the Shechina being Shore in our Batim, and ultimately having the greatest Hashra'as HaShechina, having the Shechina be Shore in the Beis HaMikdash, that is the ultimate tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We start the Seder with Kaddish. What do we say in Kiddush? We know this from Yom Tov in general. Hashem Baruch Abon Mikolam V'Ramon Mikol Hashom V'Kiddushan V'Mitzvosam. V'Ramon Mikol Hashom V'Kiddushan V'Mitzvosam. What we're just mentioning, different ideas. There's Bechiras Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael from all the nations. He raised us up from any language, any other people, and he gave us mitzvahs. Well, he did a number of different things. That's the simple understanding. Rapam explains that Romimus, that grandeur and majesty, the grandeur and majesty of Klal Yisrael, comes from the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are not two different elements. They're connected to each other. The Romimonu Mikol Lashon, the fact that Klal Yisrael is greater, Merumam is elevated, is has more majesty than the rest of the nations of the world, is because v'kidshanu b'mitzvosav. Through mitzvos, a person's misromen, umisale, he becomes elevated. He becomes a greater person. Look outside, people who are not observant, chalila, Jews who are not observant. It's a different person. It's certainly goyim, totally different. Right? Different people. The mitzvos elevate us. We have to know that. We have to know that, and we have to cherish that. We have to appreciate that. They say from the Vilna Gaon, Pasuk in Parashas Kisavo says, Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh kasher nishbalach. This is a pasuk of bracha before the tochacha. The Torah gives us a list of beautiful brachas. If we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, we serve Torah and mitzvahs properly. So one of the brachas is, the pasuk says, Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh kasher nishbalach. Yistishma es mitzvahs Hashem alokecha v'yalachta b'drachav. V'ro kol ami aretz g'shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yaru mimekam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you into an Am Kadosh, Am HaNivchar, if you observe the mitzvahs, and all the nations of the world will see you, V'yaru Mimecha. What does that mean? So the simple understanding is that they'll be afraid of you. Halavai. They'll be afraid of you. That's the ultimate level. If we just observed Torah and mitzvahs properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take care of everything. Kim'at oivzeyem achmiya v'altzareyhem oshiv yodi. What we said in the Yom of today, right? If only Bnei Yisrael would listen, right? Lu ami shomei ali Yisrael b'derachai yaleichu kimat oivei machniyav yatzarehem ashev yadi. Something to think about. It's not just to hope. We have to do the best we can to inspire others so that we'll all be shomer Torah mitzvahs. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of all of our needs. So the simple understanding of the pasuk is that the nations will be afraid of us if we observe Torah mitzvahs. I heard once B'Shem Degra. I was never able to find this Vilna Gaon. But they say B'Shem Degra that he said no. V'yoru Mimecha means that if you observe Torah mitzvahs, the nations of the world will learn Yirah Shamayim from you. They'll learn how to act from you. They'll see an elevated people and they'll realize this is what a human being is supposed to be. This is what life is all about. We see that sometimes. We see it sometimes when people, you know, you see in the media that they see, they talk about a certain tzaddik and what kind of a special individual he was. Sometimes when tzaddikim pass away, so they carry the story in the media. And the stories even that the non-Jewish press talk about, they're taken by such an individual, such a person with a purity of purpose, living a life of Torah and mitzvahs without all the physicality of the world. It's energizing to people on the outside, to people who live in the physical world. That's really the ultimate, says the Vilna Gaon, that people will learn Yirah Shamayim, they'll learn how to act from Yidden. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in the mitzvah of Tefillin, in mitzvah Tov Chof Aleph, he says, Sheyesh Chilul Hashem lehischase b'ktas mitzvos ulehashia b'ktasam. It's a Chilul Hashem when you observe some mitzvahs, but not the others. So if you observe mitzvahs, they look at you as a Torah observant Jew, but there's a lack of shleimus. Sometimes we observe bein adam lamakom, but not bein adam lachavero. Right? We're not so compassionate and sensitive to other people. Maybe we don't deal in business with integrity. It's a stira. Or sometimes we care about bein adam lachavero, but the bein adam lamakom is not up to par. Right? The davening is not up to par, and Talmud Torah is not up to par. It's a chil Hashem either way. The chil Hashem, whether for other Yidden or for non-Jews, it's a chil, it can be a chil Hashem. Shleimus, and a person acts with a sense of shleimus, that's mashpia. That produces a kiddush Hashem. That's what we have to think about. V'ramamonu mikoloshon is v'kitshanu b'mitzvosa. We become a Roman, become elevated to mitzvahs. That's actually how we can be mashpia on others in the most amazing way. We break the matzah at Yachatz. We know we hide the bigger piece for Afikoman. Take the matzah, the smaller piece is the symbol of the Seder, the Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. We put away the bigger piece for Afikoman. The Sfas Emes points out that this hints to the fact that the Geula Asida is Temuna Meitanu. It's hidden, we don't know when it's going to be. And we long for it. We long for it, especially this year. We long for the Geula Asida. We haven't been Zoch, we have to hide that. The larger piece of the matzah is merameis to the geula. Maybe we can say that we want the golus to be less and less. We want to minimize the golus. Let's have more of the geula. Let's have more time for geula. Let's end the golus. Let's make it less. It's been too long. Let's make it less. Let's have a greater geula. But maybe we can explain a little bit differently, that it's not that the smaller and the larger pieces are hinting to the Golus and Geula. Maybe it's hinting to something else. We know there's a machlokes ben Zoma and the Chachamim, whether we have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim b'mos HaMashiach. Ben Zoma says, Mazkirin es Yetzias Mitzrayim b'alelos, kol yimei chayecha, mantizkos yom tzerzcha me'eret Mitzrayim, kol yimei chayecha. Yimei chayecha ayomim, kol yimei chayecha halelos. And the Chachamim say, no, kol yimei chayecha lahavi l'mos HaMashiach. The Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yudbeis and Beis explains that Ben Zoma holds that l'mos HaMashiach there is no Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So kol yimei chayecha is mar b'lelos, but not l'mos HaMashiach. Why not? The Gemara says, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Hine yamin boyim layomru od chay Hashem asher helo as Yisrael meheretz Mitzrayim kim chay Hashem asher helo vashrevi aser beis Yisrael meheretz tefonu mikol harotzus asher yidachtem shama." It's going to come a time when people are not going to say, they're not going to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. They're going to talk about the nisim v'naflos of the times of Mashiach, the nisim v'naflos of the Gula Asida. The nisim of the Gula Asida are going to be so great that the nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim are going to pale by comparison. So they're not going to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim anymore. So that's why Ben Zoma says there's no Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim in Mos HaMashiach, because they're not going to mention it then. The nisim of the Gula Asira are going to be greater. So perhaps we can suggest maybe that's why when we break the matzah, the bigger piece you put away for the Afikoman, that's Miramis to the Gula Asira. That's a bigger geula, a greater geula than the smaller piece. That's Merames to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Lechem Oni is talking about Lechem Oni that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim. The small and the larger piece are not hinting to Golus and Geula. They're hinting to the Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Geula Asida. The Geula Asida is going to be so much greater. Ben Zoma says it's going to overshadow the Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We hope to see that day of the Geula Asida. But we have to hide it. We have to hide it now because we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We daven. Throughout the Seder, we have the Lechem Oni. That's the symbol of the Seder. That hints to the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the larger piece hints to the Geula Asida. We hope that it will come soon. But right now it's hidden. That's the Afikoma that's hidden for the future. We know that the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, the ikar of the mitzvah, is the Magid section. Right? The Haggadah, the ikar of the Haggadah is the Magid. So the question is, why is Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim called Haggadah? What's the Loshon Haggadah? Where does that come from? Call it a Sipur. The Avudram, his parish on the Haggadah, says that the simple understanding is because it comes from the Pasuk, V'higadah Talavincha. That's the mocha for Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'higadah Talavincha. To tell your son, tell your child. It's a good answer, but it just begs the question, why does the Torah use such a lashon? The Torah could have said, V'amarta Levincha, V'siparta Levincha. Why does it say, V'higadah Levincha? The Avudram offers another answer. He says, maybe Haggadah is from a lashon of Hodo'o V'shevach. It's a lashon of thanks. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And where does that lashon come from? It comes from the parasha of Bikurim, which happens to be the makor for many of the drushas chazal that we have in the Haggadah. How does it begin? How does the parasha Bikurim begin? The farmer comes up to the Beis HaMikdash and he gives his Bikurim to the Kohen and he says, "Higadati hayom la'Hashem Elokecha, kivasi ala oretz asher nishba Hashem Elokeinu la'avoseinu la'chizlo." Higadati hayom la'Hashem Elokecha. The Targum Yerushalmi says, "Shvochis yom adinan." I'm praising this day. I praise hayom la'Hashem. I'm praising Hashem. The Targum Yonason says, Ve'odina, I'm thanking Hashem. The farmer comes up, he's so thankful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him Parnasa for the year. There's no guarantee, 1 year is no guarantee of another year. And he's thankful. He says, Higadati Ayom. Higadati is a Lashon Shvach V'Hodah. It's a Lashon of praise. It's a Lashon of praise. So maybe that's the idea, that at the Seder we're praising Hashem, we're thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. It's not just the Sipur, we're not just telling stories here. The story is very important. What's the goal? The goal is to get to Hallel, to get to the thanks, Hodah, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the process. But it's even deeper than that. I saw in the beautiful Sefer, Seder HaOruch, it's a 3-volume Sefer about Haggadah and about the mitzvah Halayla, the Seder. So he quotes someone who wants to suggest, based on the Malbim in Tehillim. The Malbim, we know the Malbim was very enamored of synonyms. He takes synonyms and he tries to distinguish between the words to say what exactly is the difference. There are many words in Lashon HaKodesh that are similar, but they're not exactly the same. There are nuances that are different. So the Malbim tries to figure out what's the difference between Haggadah and Sipur. They both really sound like telling over something. He says the difference is that Sipur is telling a story in the past. A story that happened in the past. Haggadah is telling a story that's relevant in the present. And he brings a raya. This is the Malbim in Tehillim in Perek Yutes. We say this every Shabbos. Hashamayim misaprim kvod kel umayse yodav magid harakia. The Shamayim tell of the glory of the Rabbanu Shlolam. Umayse yodav magid harakia. The rakia, the lower heavens, tell of Maase Yodav, of the actions of Hashem. What does that mean? So the Malbim explains that the Shamayim is talking about the higher spheres. The higher spheres of the heavens, we don't even see those spheres. Higher spheres of the heavens, those are misaper. Those tell the story that Hashem created the world. Hashem created Shamayim Va'aretz. Shamayim is the Shamayim Elyonim, the higher spheres that don't interact with us. The higher spheres. The Rakia is the lower part of the Shamayim. That's where the rain comes from the Rakia, where the clouds are. That's also in the sky. That's much lower. That's the part of the sky that affects Bnei Adam, that affects human beings. Says the Malbim, that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'tuva b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running teva each and every day. The rain comes from him. So the rakia is magid ma'aseh yodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's magid. It's not just a sipur of the past. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in the past, so we see from the higher spheres that the misaper kvod shamayim, kvod Hashem. No, the rakia is magid. It tells of the ma'aseh yodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day. Haggadah means that the story is relevant right now. It's relevant in the here and now, in the present. Sipur is a story of the past. Haggadah is a story of the present. It's interesting, when dreams are told over in Sefer Bereishis, we find the word Vayisaper constantly. Yosef tells over his dreams to the brothers, Vayachalom Yosef Chalom Vayisaper Oso Le'echov. With the Saramashkim, Yosef says, Saprun Oli, Saramashim, Saraofim, tell me your dreams. Saprun Oli, tell me the dreams. Vayisaper Saramashkim El Yosef. Vayisaper Paro Lohem Eskalomo. Para has dreams. He tells it to the Khartoumim, tells over the dreams constantly, Sipur. But then when Yosef comes to Para, Para says, I have a problem here. I have a dream, and no one's telling me Pshat. No one's telling me the explanation. He says, Va'omar la Khartoumim ve'ein magidli. They're not magidli. They're not telling me what the answer is. What's that Lashon ein magidli? I think the answer is, obviously, simply it means no one's interpreting. But what's Paro really saying? I don't care about the dream. The dream is just a sipur. I had the dream in the past, but I want to know, how is this relevant to me? How is this story relevant to me? No one's giving me an answer that's resonating with me. So I don't see how it's relevant. I can't learn from this dream because I don't see how it's relevant to me. Haggadah means that the sipur is relevant to me. It's a sipur that's relevant in the hove, in the here and now, in the present. It's not a story of all. It's not Jewish history. It's not history. Of course it's Jewish history, but it's Jewish history that affects us in the present, that's relevant to me now. And that's really what the Targum Yerushalmi and the Targum Yonasan are saying as well. Higadati ayom l'Hashem Elokecha. The farmer says, Higadati. I'm saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me my land. He's given me produce. He got it. It's relevant to me. This is my story. This is not in the past. This is a story of the here and now. And because it's a story that affects me, that's why I'm so thankful for it. It's much greater, the thanks a person has when he's successful, is much greater than if his parents are successful. A person is thankful for the success of his family too. But when it's a story, when he put in his blood, sweat, and tears into the process of planting and getting the produce, when a person puts in effort, he goes out to work, he's working, whatever his parnasa is, puts an effort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him success, he's so much more appreciative. It's relevant to him. It's his story. That's the word higarati. Higarati means it's my story. It's relevant to me. And if it's relevant to me, then there's so much more sheva, there's so much more hodah, so much more praise. That's the way to look at Sifrei Yisrael. It's not a story in the past. It's a haggadah. It's a story that's relevant to me. The Rambam says, we're going out now. It's not just that we have to think of ourselves like we left Mitzrayim. We have to re-experience it and feel like we're leaving Mitzrayim today. What would it feel like? Try to envision. Try to think about that. Try to think about that. Try to think about the geulos that we've experienced, the personal geulos, the personal salvations, the personal yeshuas, the personal hatzlochas and brachas that we've received. Feel that. That's relevant to us. That's Haggadah. That's the ultimate Haggadah. When we take it home and realize that the story is not old history, it's something that's actually nogea to us. We start the Maggid by saying, Halach ma'anya di'achalu avasana ba'arad in Mitzrayim. This is the lechem oni that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim? Ramban in Parshas Re'eh points out that really matzah is a zechel avdus and a zechel l'cheres too. It's a zechel avdus and a zechel l'cheres. He says on the pasuk shivas yomim tochal olav matzos lachamoni ki b'chipozon yotzoso me'eretz Mitzrayim. He says beer bekan dvarim rabim. That first of all, matzah is a lechem oni. It's a zechel to the chipozon. We left Mitzrayim quickly. That's what we say at the end of Maggid. We quote Rabban Gamliel, Haya Omer, Matzah Zushanu Ochel Hashema, Al Shem Shlo Hisbik, Betzekam Shlo Vasein Al Hachmet, Tzad Shenigal Alea Melech Machem Lechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ola Miyad. Some say Miyad, some not. Right? The Lashon of the Rambam is Zuga Ola Miyad. Right? That's a... Lechem Oni is definitely a Zecher Lecherus. But says the Ramban, Vehi Oni, Lechem Oni is Lechem Oni, Zecher ki hoyu b'Mitzrayim b'lechem tzar u'mayim lachatz. But they also ate matzah in Mitzrayim. They didn't have time to bake bread. The Mitzrayim didn't give them the time to prepare good food. No, they had to eat matzah. So it's a strange thing. Like here, they were eating matzah as a Zecher l'cheres. We're eating matzah as a Zecher l'cheres. They ate matzah when they left Mitzrayim. But at the same time, they ate matzah in Mitzrayim too. The Zechel Avdus also. The matzah is merames for both things. That's why the Balagoda begins, Holach ma'anya di'achalu avasana ba'ar the Mitzrayim. We start. We're starting with the Avdus. I saw Rav Matisyo Solomon in his Agoda. He points out that this really is a key of maschil b'gnus, that you have to mention the Avdus in the beginning. This is an Avdus. Matzah? I thought we eat the matzah as a Zechel Acheres. The answer is, there are tzvei din in here. Zechel Avdus too. We have to start the Seder by talking about Avdus. But maybe we can answer that that's why we end by talking about the matzahs of Zechel Acheres also. That's Maschil B'Genus and Messiah B'Shevach. Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer is the Messiah B'Shevach. The same Chefza. What an incredible thing. The same Chefza, the same matzah can be Zechel Avdus and Zechel Acheres. Kodesh Baruch can turn Avdus into Acheres. The same Chefza can be both. That's the ultimate key of Maschil B'Genus and Messiah B'Shevach. We end that paragraph saying, Ashata Ochel Lashana Babar Di Yisrael, Ashata Abdi Lashana Babanei Chorin. What's this doing here? But that tefillah at the beginning of the Seder, we're davening for the Gula Asida, what's this doing here? Rabbi Ganak, in his Sefer Gan Shoshanim, in the first volume, his first Sefer, in Simen Chav Gimel, he says a beautiful word. He says this end point of the paragraph is explaining what we're doing here in Golus. What do we celebrate? We're not free. We're not completely free. We're not at a stage of geula. So what are we making a seder for? Ula simcha mazo osa. What's the simcha for? We don't have a full geula, so what are we so happy for? What are we so happy? So he explains based on a mashal. He says, if a person is in jail, but the warden comes to tell him, oh, you know what? You've been pardoned. You're going to leave tomorrow. He's happy even now. Now he's a Ben Chorin, but he's still in jail. Doesn't matter. He knows he's leaving tomorrow. But if someone is a seems to be a Ben Chorin, but someone but he's told he's going to be indicted tomorrow and he's going to be sent to jail, he doesn't feel free even today. Because he knows that he's going to jail tomorrow. Very often, a person's feeling is not based on the situation that he's in now, but his perspective of the future, his aspiration, his dream for the future. What we're saying here is that we might be in Golus now, but the Geula can come at any moment. And that's our national destiny. The destiny of Klal Yisrael is there's going to be a Geula. There's going to be a Geula. We sometimes, we wish it would be here already. But that's our national destiny. And if that's the case, then we are B'nei Chorin even now. Even now. It doesn't matter. Freedom is not a function of a person's physical location. It's a function of his aspiration. It's a function of his dream. It's a function of where he sees himself in the future. And that's what we say. Hashanta hocha l'shana ba ba'arad Yisrael. It's not just a tefillah for the future. Of course it is that as well. But it's an expression of chayrus that we know that the Geula is coming. It can come at any moment, and we believe that. See, peace al Yeshua, we have to believe that. We do believe that. That's our national destiny. So as a result of that, we're even B'nai Chorin now. That's why we're so happy. We can have a simcha even now, because the Geula is here. The Geula can be here any moment. And that's where we're going. That's where we're headed. And if that's where we're headed, then we have a sense of simcha even now. Manishtana is a famous part of the Haggadah. Very important to get the kids involved. Then he asks the question, why is it Derech She'elu Tshuva? Reb Chaim points out one of the differences between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is that Tzipur is Derech She'elu Tshuva. What's that idea? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains, based on a very important Yesod, in Sefer Yecheskel, the Pasuk says that when someone would come to the Beis HaMikdash, he'd never leave the same way. When the Ola Regel and the Yom Tov, you come in the south, you leave in the north. You come in the north, you leave in the south. You can't go the same door. Now we know the minhag is someone who gets an aliyah, so he'll go up to the beam on one side, he's supposed to go down the beam on the other side. Don't go back the same way. There should always be a sense of freshness. Sense of freshness and excitement when you come to the Beis HaMikdash. To avoid familiarity. Pasuk Parshas Achremo says, Dabar l'Aaron achicha v'al yovo b'choleis el ha-kodesh. Aaron is not supposed to come into the Kodesh HaKodoshim every day, only Yom Kippur. Why? So Rashi says, Zulefi shegilu yishchinasi sham yizar shlo yargil lovo. Zel pshuto. My shchina is most concentrated in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, says HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So Aaron shouldn't come every day. You can't get used to something like that. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be different. If you visit the Kotel, if they're not being there for a while, you know, you get a rush when you come up to the Rachava, right? It's unbelievable, the feeling. When it's not familiar, you go every day, it's not the same thing. You come if you haven't been there a couple of months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. It's like a different world. And that's just the Kotel. Just. Right? The Beis HaMikdash. We want to make sure people feel a sense of freshness, a sense of excitement, not like, yeah, I've been there, done that. Dr. Chaim Shmulevitz. That's why Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim has to occur there, Shailu Tshuva. Because questions make the experience exciting for children. It makes the experience exciting for adults, too. Yeah, you got a good kasha. A kasha and a teretz, a shaka v'taya, pupula daraisa, as we talk about, right? That's what makes it exciting. You know, just to sit there and to hear a lecture, you know, back and forth and back and forth. So, you know, after about 15 minutes, you find yourself in a different continent. Right? The Derech She'elu Tshuva is what involves you. It's what gets you excited. That's a good kasha to think about. That's what gets the children excited. We want to get the children excited. We want them to get involved. Just like eating karpas, Akiras HaShulchan, everything we do at the Seder to get the kids involved. Derech She'elu Tshuva is part of the process. part of the process of getting the kids involved and getting them excited is that they'll be part of the Sipiyas Yisrael. If this Vart is true, so then what should emerge is that we should ask kashas, lots of kashas. There should be a goal to ask questions of the Seder, not just the Manishtana. Manishtana are just four examples of questions, but we should ask other questions. There's a kiyum in Sipiyas Yisrael. The more Shailu Tshuva that we have, the greater a kiyum, because that's what gets us excited, gets us involved in the process, and it brings home the messages of Sipiyas Yisrael. One of the questions of the Manishtana is, of course, Chometz Matzah. The whole Indian of Chometz Matzah is toned beer. No pun intended. Toned beer with an aleph. Not beer with an aleph. We'll do beer chametz, but yeah. Toned beer with an aleph. You have to understand Chometz Matzah. Chometz is a macholos azuris that's totally different than any other macholos azuris. First of all, it's also b'mashu. Right, it's not. There's no tam ki ikar. It's not like it's a bottle b'shishim b'mashu. You can't eat it even b'mashu. What's more, you can't even derive benefit from it. You're not allowed to own it. So many chumras that we have by chumras that we don't find by any other machlokes asuras. And we know the difference between chumras and matzah is minuscule, tiny amount, sheer kotav. You leave the matzah in, or you don't work the dough for a little bit of time beyond the shear, beyond the 18 minutes, whatever, is the chashash of chametz already. Chiv kares for chametz. Just on a nuance, a shear katan. We know there's even the difference between the word chametz and the word matzah is very small, right? The mem and the tzadi are the same. The difference between a ches and a hey is very, very small. What's the message? What's the idea? Reb Chaim Mintz suggests in his Haggadah that this is a Yisod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Bnei Yisrael when they were leaving Mitzrayim the importance of every small thing. That when it comes to Torah Mitzvahs, every prat is so chashuv. Every detail, every small amount is very chashuv. It's like a mashal, he gives a mashal to a chola. Let's say someone is sick, goes to a doctor, the doctor prescribes a medication. The patient says, you know what, I'm not going to take the amount the doctor gave. I'll take a little bit more, I'll take a little bit less. It's not so smart. Right? Do what the doctor tells you. He knows what's good for you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying a life of Torah Mitzvahs is so important, but you have to do it with the right measure. If you're off by a little bit, you think, oh, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Because every part is so chashuv. Every part is so chashuv. Not just in a negative sense. That if you're off by a little bit, so then Chalila could turn matzah into chametz. I think he means that even in a positive sense, every prat is important. Sometimes we think, what's an extra 5 minutes of learning? You know what? I'll just hang out instead of. No, every 5 minutes, every prat is so choshev. Not just in Sur Meirah, but in Asay Tov as well. In Asay Tov as well. We have to keep that in mind. You have to keep that in mind. That every part is choshev. The difference between chametz and matzah is very significant. We should always keep that idea in mind. Maisa b'rebelezer. Maisa b'rebelezer. We're going to skip a little bit. We can't touch every part of the Haggadah. There's just so much to say. Try to choose every year some ideas. Maisa b'Reb Elezer. The Baal Haggadah tells a story of the five Talmidei Chachamim, right? Reb Elezer and Reb Yeshua, Reb Elezer ben Azayir, and Tarfon, Reb Akiva. Right? They were Osek and Tzipiyas Yisrael. Why does the Baal Haggadah choose this story? Hey, he could have chosen any five tzaddikim. Over the generations, there are many tzaddikim that Mestama were sitting together. They're Mesapa B'Yitzias Yisrael. What's so miyuchad about these five? I saw Rav Druk in his Agada. He quotes from Reb Yoshev that he wanted to suggest the following: that we know that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim sunk to the Memteh Shari Tuma. They were at the lowest level. Kadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Asakeit. He took them out before they could sink to the 50th level. When someone's on such a low level, It's very easy to give up, to be nisyayish. To give up hope, to say there's no way. What can I become? Where can I go? Am I going to be able to raise myself up from this low level? It's normal for a person to be nisyayish. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. He took Klal Yisrael out and gave them a Torah and raised them up so far from the Memtei Sha'aretim that they were on. So the Baal HaGadol wants to bring out that there's a message here, and that is one should never give up. No matter what matzav a person is in, no matter what situation he's in, no matter what level he's on, a person can rise to the highest levels. No matter what challenges a person faces in life, he can rise to the highest challenges, rise to the highest levels. And that's why he chooses this story with these five Tanaim, because these five Tanaim we know had different challenges. Rabbi Lezer, we know the Medrash says, until he was 28 years old, he didn't even know how to read Kriya Shema and to daven. And he cried so much, his father said, what are you crying for? He says, I don't want to read Kriya Shema. So I said, get married, have a family, go get a job. He says, no, nafshi chashka b'tar, I wanted to learn. I want to learn. And he learned and he became a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Yeshua was terribly poor. Rabbi Gamliel, we know the story in Brachas, Rabbi Gamliel argued against Rabbi Yeshua, he was mevazeh him, and ultimately they removed Rabbi Gamliel from the Nesiyah. So the story goes, Rabbi Gamliel visited Rabbi Yeshua, he wanted to ask him mechila, and he saw that the walls of his home were black, Rabbi Yeshua. So he said, I didn't know you were so poor. Rabbi Yeshua said, Ochin vei to the generation that you don't know the poverty that the Talmidei Chachamim are living with. Rabbi Yeshua was terribly poor. It didn't stop him. Reb Tarfon was an usher muflug. He was tremendously wealthy. Yeah, someone who's wealthy, gets involved in his business. He's busy. He has a lot to take care of. So he can have an excuse that maybe he's not learning as much as he should be. It's not an excuse. Reb Tarfon didn't treat that as an excuse. He pushed himself to learn despite the fact that he was wealthy. The wealth was just an extra. But that didn't prevent him from reaching the highest levels in Torah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, we know, was appointed a Nasi at a very young age. Wasn't easy to reach the levels that he reached in his youth. He didn't have experience, but yet he was able to learn Torah despite the fact that he wasn't as experienced, didn't have the same level of wisdom maybe as some of the other Tanaim, but he obviously reached the level that he became a Nasi even though he was so young. Rabbi Akiva, we know, the first 40 years, Rabbi Akiva knew nothing, and yet look what he became. Each one of these Tanaim, Rabbi Yoshev says, faced different challenges in their lives. And those challenges could have prevented them from becoming Talmidei Chacham, from becoming the Gedolim that they became. But the Baal HaGadol wants to teach us that there's never an excuse. We have to push ourselves, but we can always reach the highest levels, no matter what challenges we have. Whether we have the challenge of wealth, that some of us wish they had, it's also a challenge, or whether people have a challenge of Oni or any other challenge. Any other challenge. We can succeed and we can grow in Torah and Yirat Shamayim despite what challenges we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to help us. We have to ask for that help. We have to hope for that help. And B'siyata D'Shmaya, we can be zocha to accomplish great things no matter what challenges we face in life. We know that a lot of the Haggadah is focused on the drushes of the Parsha Bikurim. We normally don't even get to this part of the Haggadah, so I want to focus a little bit more on this. Skipping a lot here, but let's focus on this a little bit. Why do we darshan the psukim from Parashas Kisavo? Okay, they talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rami Ovid Ovi, Vayar Mitzrayim, Vayagoshem, Vesem Ma'od, etc. All the psukim, Parashas Shmos, Sefer Shmos, Va'erabo, that also talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We could just mention the psukim, Sefer Shmos. Why do we jump to Mikra Bikurim? What's the idea? The Rav responded pointing out that one of the yesodos of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the inyan of Mesorah. We know that he got it to Levincha, Mesorah of father to child. Obviously, if there are no children, there's still a mitzvah Sipur Yitzchak, a person to show this atzmal even. But clearly, part of Sipur Yitzchak is the Sipur to a ben, giving over Mesorah. Said the Rav, maybe that's the idea why Chazal chose the Pesukim of Parashas Kisavo to mention Yitzchak Yitzchak B'derech Remes. To mention, like a whole pasuk or a group of Pesukim and Sefer Shmos are alluded to by just a word in Pesukim and Parashas Kisavo. We need Torah Shabbal Peh. We need Torah Shabbal Peh to understand what the Pesukim and Parashas Kisavo are teaching us. So maybe that's the idea, since Yitzchak Yitzchak, the focus is so much on Mesorah. Maybe that's why B'davka we choose Pesukim that are not as clear, that are not as elaborate. But we darshan the Torah Shabbal Peh because that's really the yesod of Sipur Yetzirah Yitzchayim. I heard once another idea, a very beautiful idea, based on the Ramban. You know, the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo has his famous statement that why are so many mitzvos Zecher Yetzirah Yitzchayim? We have the mitzvos of Shabbos and Yom Tov where we say Zecher Yetzirah Yitzchayim in the Kiddush and in Tefillah. We have the mitzvos of Tefillin and Mezuzah, the mitzvos of the Seder night. So many mitzvos that are Zecher Yetzirah Yitzchayim. Why is that? And Ramban famously says that Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us a very important lesson. That is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. If he can suspend the laws of nature to do the supernatural miracles of the Esamakos and Kriyas Yamsu of the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then he's in control of nature. That there's Hashgacha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything that happens in our lives. That's the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The ultimate message, the take-home message, someone might ask, what is the take-home message of the Seder? What's the take-home message of all of these Seder Tzayim? The real take-home message is the Ramban in Parashas Bo. That's really the take-home message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just do things in the past. This is not Jewish history. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running my life each and every day. To live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we take away one message from the whole Seder, it's to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day. And to realize that he runs everything. That there's no such thing as Teva. There's no such thing as nature. Everything happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. That's the message. You know, you can have Iran sending 300 drones and missiles. And Baruch Hashem, Matzei Shabbos, we saw Nisim. Did we see Nisim Gluyim? Did we see supernatural miracles? No. But did we see natural miracles? You bet. But anyone who says, oh, that proves Israel has a superior air defense system. Tzahal is very strong. Look, Kadosh Baruch Hu has his shluchim, right? He has his messengers, obviously. But anyone who can look at what happened Matzei Shabbos and not realize that that was a nes is not seeing clear. I mean, half the missiles didn't even make it, right? Even the missiles that did come through, with such minor damage, the experts say, statistically, this was very unlikely. Very unlikely. The world has been terrified of what can be. Iran has such a power, it's ballistic missiles, it's cruise missiles. And yet, Baruch Hashem, what happened? Kemat Gornish. That's an ace too. That's the Ramban. Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in control. Don't think for a moment that things are just Teva. Kochi va'otzim yadi, what? It's Tzal. Tzal themselves realize it's not Teva. Just talk to the soldiers. The war in Gaza, there are miracles every day. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of Tzar too. We can't forget the Tzar. There's a lot of pain and suffering also. If everything would be a miracle, then it would be too obvious. There would be no Bechira Chofshis. So unfortunately, there's a lot of Tzar. There's a lot of pain there also. But they talk about, the Chayalim talk about the miracles that they experienced. The stories, it's mind-boggling. You see the Nisi. Oh, yeah, you could say the bullet shot off this way. Like, oh, yeah, it happened then. Happened? Come on. Teva is a nice also. Despite all the pain, we see the Nisim of Teva. And maybe that's the idea. That's why we choose the Psukim of Parashas Kisavo. Because what's Kisavo talking about? It's talking about the farmer who comes up to the Beis HaMikdash to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his parnasa of every day. There's no supernatural miracle. He put out the seed. The seed grew. Why did the seed grow? Because the rain came down and made the seed grow. It's all natural. Happens by itself. But we know that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that to happen. That doesn't happen by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show, and that's what he's coming to say. He got it, the Ayom, Hashem Elokecha. I'm coming to say that this is my story. This is my story of a miracle. A miracle of Teva. The fact that the land blooms, that Eretz Yisrael is blooming, is a miracle. It's a miracle. 100 years ago, there was nothing going on there. It was desert. There was nothing growing. And no matter how hard anyone tried to plant it, nothing grew. And now the desert is blooming. That's not a miracle? Of course it's a miracle. But you have to open your eyes to see it. That's what Parshas Kisavo is all about. Parshas Kisavo is the lesson of the Ramban. The lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of Teva. And everything that happens to us, because he wants it to happen to us. One of the psukim that we mention is Vayareu Osanu HaMitzri. Vayareu Osanu HaMitzri. What's the Balagada coming to teach us? Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim, K'mo Shenemar, Hava Nischak Malo, Penyir Bevahaya Ki Zekrena Melchama. What does that mean? The Mitzrim did bad to us? So we talk about the pasuk where they say Hava Nischak Malo, Penyir Bevahaya Ki Zekrena Melchama. That's the scheme of the Mitzvah. They say they're afraid that Klal Yisrael is going to kick them out of the land, so therefore, let's make it difficult for them. That's not Vayareu Osanu HaMitzvah. Vayareu Osanu HaMitzvah means Vayavidu Mitzrayim Es B'nei Yisrael Bevarech. They made Klal Yisrael work hard. What does that mean? Vayareu Osanu HaMitzvah is Hava Nischak Malo. So the Tziv explains that Vayareu Osanu HaMitzvah does not mean that the Mitzvah did bad to us. Then it would have said Vayareu Lanu HaMitzvah. It says Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim. That means that the Mitzrim attributed bad midos and evil thoughts to us. Vayareu Osanu, they made us bad. They made us, they said bad things about us to their people. The leaders said bad things about us to their people. And that's why they were able to get the people to persecute us. When Goyim want to make it difficult for us, they make it seem like the Jews are the problem. They run the banks, they run the world, they're going to ruin everything. They attribute evil thoughts to us. That's Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim. Not that they did, of course they did bear test. That's not what the Balagad is bringing out over here. Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim means that they attributed evil thoughts to us. They attributed evil thoughts to us. Vanitzak El Hashem. Vanitzak El Hashem. The Ramban in Parsha Shmo says that the Geula couldn't come without Klal Yisrael davening. Without tefillah, the Geula was not going to come. Vayishma Elokim es nakosam, vayizkar Elokim es briso, vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, vayed Elokim. Afal pi shenishlam azman, says the Ramban, shenigzar aleim lohoi ruim ligal, elemenei atzaoka kibel tefilasna verachamav. It's only because Klal Yisrael daven, they would so ache that the tefillos were answered. You see from the Ramban that tefillah is a mafteach for geula. You could have all the ingredients for geula there, but without tefillah, the geula is not going to come. And perhaps we can add a part that we've said in the past, that the psukim say, "Vayhi bayom harav lahem, bayomas melech Mitzrayim, bayonchu b'nei Yisrael, Min ha'avoda v'yizoku v'tal shav osim elu elokim min ha'avoda." That Melech Mitzrayim died by Anchu b'nei Yisrael. They sighed from the, they groaned from the avoda. They cried out, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillah. Why did they cry out when Melech Mitzrayim died? Why did they cry when Melech Mitzrayim died? There are different approaches given, but the Chizkuni there in Parsha Shmo says, you know why they cried out? Because as long as Paro was still alive, and Israel put their hope in the death of the king. They said, you know, when the king dies, maybe after the king dies, there'll be a new king who'll be better for us. But when after the king died, the Gzeros didn't get better. If anything, they got worse. Then they said, oh no, now we're in big trouble. Then they gave up hope. They gave up hope and they realized that there's only one place to put their hope. There's only one entity where they can put their hope, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they were messiahish from any other car that could save them, and they davened, so then their tefillos went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he saved them. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Zion says, Ein Ben David Bo Ad Sheyisya Ashum Min HaGeula. Ben David Mashiach will only come when they give up hope from the Geula. What does that mean? They give up hope from the Geula. When they no longer believe that the Geula is going to come, but there's no Tzipis L'Yeshua, then Mashiach is going to come. So some suggest that the idea is, no, when Klal Yisrael gives up hope from bringing the Geula themselves, when they give up hope in self-determination, when they realize that it's not dependent on them, maybe they're shluchim in the process, but when they realize it's not them, they need Kutcher Brichu, they need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Geula. That's when the Geula will come. As long as we think it's us, as long as we still think it's us, I don't want to say it, as long as we think it's us, it's harder. Mashiach can come when we give up, so to speak, and we realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need you. We need you. And we call out, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us to the Geula. And finally, part of the Rebbe Gamliel Hayomer, we say Matzah Zu Pesach Matzah Morah Matzah Zu Shana Ochem Morah Zeh Shana Ochem Hashem Ma. The Morah is mentioned after the Matzah. Why do we mention Morah after Matzah? The Morah was before the Matzah. Nay Vaymoras Chayeim. The Mitzrim made the lives of Klal Yisrael difficult. The Mitzrayim was before the Matzah, so we should say Morah Pesach Matzah. You want to mention the Matzah in Mitzrayim? Morah Matzah Pesach, whatever. But Morah should be in the beginning. Why is Morah mentioned in the end? So there are different answers given. Once I heard a beautiful idea that we know the Koshi HaShibud was what brought the Geula. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shibud more difficult, so he was Chishev Esaketz, he was able to fill in the 400 years with the Koshi HaShibud. So it turns out that the Morah was actually the source of the Geula. It brought the Geula. When Bnei Yisrael were going through the Shibud, they didn't see that. It just looked bitter. But they didn't realize that that was a catalyst to bring the Geula earlier. That the Morah, to some extent, was good for them. They didn't see that the Morah was good for them. But only later, when they received the Torah, and they appreciated what happened with the Morah, right? They appreciated that the Meriris, that the Shibud, was able to bring them Geula, so only then they realized that the Morah was good for them too. So that's why we mention Morah at the end. Because after the Pesach and the Matzah of Geula, then we realize that the Morah was a chelik of the Geula too. It wasn't just part of the Shibud, but it brought about Geula, it brought the Geula earlier. Some connect this to what Yaakov Avinu did in Mitzrayim. When Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim and he meets with Yosef, so the Pasuk says, Vayipol al tzavara, vayev kal tzavara vod, that Yosef and Yaakov reunite after 22 years. And he cries on his shoulder. It's written Beloshon Yochid, Vayev Kal Tzavara Vod. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that Yosef was the only one crying. Vayev Kal Tzavara Vod, Hirba Bebechi. Oh, there's an extra, there's a big cry. Yosef cried. He was reunited with his father. We can only imagine the kind of feeling that there was there. The Rashi quotes from Chazal that Yaakov Avinu was Kari Kriyashma then. It's Kari Kriyashma. Yosef was crying on Yaakov Avinu's shoulders, and Yaakov was Kari Kriyashma. What does that mean? Maral asks, if this was the time to read Kriyashma, if this man of Kriyashma was passing, Yosef should have been reading Kriyashma too. Why was Yaakov reading Kriyashma and Yosef wasn't? So some give the following answer. I heard this at different times from different people. The answer is given that Yaakov Avinu was not reading Kriyashma b'Toras Mitzvah. Yaakov Avinu at this moment realized that the tzara that he had, that Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim, that he was sold into slavery, he didn't know that he was sold into slavery, but somehow Yosef got here. Yosef got to Mitzrayim and he was separated from Yosef for 22 years. Yaakov Avinu at this moment realized that the fact that Yosef had come down to Mitzrayim was the best thing that happened to him. Because if not, then they wouldn't be able to survive in the hunger. Yosef was able to support the entire family throughout the Ra'av. And he was able to support the entire world throughout the Ra'av. So it looked terrible at the time that Yaakov Avinu lost Yosef. But in the end, he realized that it was all good. It was a challenge. It was difficult. But it was the best thing that happened to him. So Yaakov Avinu read Kriyashma, because what is Kriyashma about? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim. Elokeinu, the Midas HaDin. Hashem Echad, it's all Racham. Yaakov Avinu realized that even Elokeinu, even the Midas HaDin, is Rachamim too. And that's why he was Kari Kriyashma at that moment in time. Not everyone is Zocha in this world to see that the din is rachamim. We've seen a lot of challenge this year. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And it's hard to come to terms with it. It's hard to come to terms. And our hearts go out. Our hearts go out to the hostages and the families of the hostages and the Chayalim who are no longer with us and their families. There's a lot of suffering that this war has brought. A lot of challenge. A lot of difficulty. But we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what he thinks is right. In this world, we can't express hodah, we can't express a simcha, we can't feel a simcha for this. Because we don't understand that, we don't see the bigger picture, but we have emunah. Part of Pesach is a yom tov of emunah. We have emunah, we have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a rhyme and reason. He has a reason for everything he's doing, despite the fact that we don't understand. We can't say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We can't say that the Midas Hadin is really rachamim because we don't see it in this world. But we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our good in mind. We hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our good in mind. It's our bracha and our tefillah when we sit down to the Seder. First of all, we should think of all the people who are sitting down to a Seder suffering. We shouldn't sit down b'simcha and think that nothing, you know, not think of other people. We have to think of those individuals that don't have the same Seder that they had last year. There are people missing at the table. Fathers and brothers and sons and daughters. There are people missing at the table. We have to take a moment to think about them. To try to think of the pain that they're going through and to think of ways that maybe we can try to alleviate that pain in whatever method we have to give to these individuals, to bring simcha to them. And we have to be thankful for what we do have. We have to express a simcha, we have to express hodah, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we do have. But we have to realize that this matzav is no different than any other matzav. Whatever challenge a person has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the individual, he's leading the klal through that challenge. There is some kind of message that we're supposed to glean, we're supposed to grow from this experience. There is a rachamim here, but we don't see that rachamim. We don't see that rachamim. But we say Pesach Matzah Umara because we believe that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachamon. And he only has our good in mind. We daven, we hope and pray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take all the mitzvahs that we perform on the night of the Seder, and he'll take all of the thoughts and the feelings that we have, and hopefully he'll bring us to a better place. He'll bring us that we'll see Yeshua's Bekarov. May this be the year that we come to the ultimate Geula and to the Binyan Bayis Shlishi, and Heira v'Yameinu. Amen.